Hello, everyone. It is Nathan with the TA Discussion Hour. Hope you are doing well today. Happy Saturday. Let's dive into some big ideas from the classes this past week at the Entheos Academy. Just to remind you, you can find all the information at entheosacademy.com, and you can find the radio shows at entheosradio.com. And all the big ideas, all the notes I'll be pulling from are at entheos.me/blog. All of those notes are available to all of you. You can check them out. There's no cost required. You can skim through any of the classes you want and figure out if there are any classes or teachers you want to dive into more fully. So this radio show right now is being hosted at tadiscussionhour.podbean.com. That's P-O-D as in dog, B as in boy, E-A-N.com, tadiscussionhour.podbean.com. And I also created a discussion thread at we.entheos.me, the community group we have. There's a little player installed. You can listen to the episodes there. You can leave comments or questions or suggestions, anything you'd like. So that's what we have going on right now. Let me dive into what we have on tap for today. So what we're going to talk about. So we're in week 5 of the show. Very excited to have been doing this and learning a lot as I'm going. Not only learning the content, but learning a great way to deliver this material. So, something to have fun with. So today we will talk about the importance of optimizing hormones with Mike Mahler. We'll talk about week 1 of that class, which actually is taking place on Saturday. So there's the second class is today, the same day that I'm recording this. But from last Saturday, we'll go with week 1, optimizing the master control hormones, and we'll talk about melatonin and ways to boost melatonin. Then we'll look at Love University with Mastin Kipp in week number 3, embracing the unknown. We'll talk about some convenient stories in our life. Then we'll move over to the feel-good solution to end overeating for good with Isabel Tierney, week number 5, fulfilling your sacred needs. And we'll discuss the big idea number 3 over there, the science of feeling good. There's about 9 specific ways that you can feel good. Then we'll move over to The Big Glow with Brian Piergrossi, The Big Glow, Living an Inspired Life. And we're in week number 4 of that, talking about the inspired body. And I'm actually going to pull all 3 big ideas. That's for my plan right now, is because they're very short, very simple. And we're looking at relaxation, nutrition, and exercise, the 3 keys of having an inspired life, and more specifically, an inspired body. Then we'll move over to The Power of Authentic Living with Alan Cohen. We're in week number 7 of that class, Let Life Love You. And we'll talk about big idea number 2, be/feel over task lists. So we'll explain that a little bit more in depth, but just looking at be and feel as opposed to your traditional task lists. So we'll discuss more about that. And finally, we'll look at Masters of Change with Ian Lawton. And we're in week number 9 of that class, Action Part 4, Responsibility. That's the big idea we're going to take a look at. Number 1, responsibility. Really excited to talk about that topic and all of the others we have. So without further ado, let's get into what we have in store for today. And let's look at the importance of optimizing hormones with Mike Mahler. And again, we're in week number 1 of this class, optimizing the master control hormones. This is a 4-week class with Mike. Mike is a hormone optimization researcher, kettlebell trainer, really fantastic guy, just tons of great information out of this class. In addition to the big idea notes, Mike has provided his lecture notes, which are, so much more extensive and comprehensive than we could go into in the big ideas. But it gives you the full picture of what he's working from, just tons more of ideas and links and all this information that's available. If you're, signed up for the class, you can get access to Mike's notes. So let's talk about big idea number 3. And big idea number 3 covers 5 ways to boost melatonin. I'm going to talk just about two of them today, two that I really know about and have experienced. So what is melatonin? Well, melatonin is produced in the, and I'm going to probably butcher this, the pineal gland of the brain from the amino acid tryptophan. And I'm going to, let me pull up Mike's notes actually real quickly, because there was something I wanted to reference, you know, get a little bit more information about melatonin. So let's see here. Melatonin is one of the four big players, and it is critical for deep sleep. It's when you restore, and it produces the thriving hormones such as the growth hormone. So it's a very important part of our system. And in the notes, so yeah, as mentioned, it's key for deep sleep, and this improves insulin sensitivity, leptin sensitivity, and leptin is another one of the big players. It's actually the most powerful hormone we have in our bodies. It communicates with the brain to determine energy expenditure. So melatonin improves insulin sensitivity, improves leptin sensitivity, and sex hormone production. So melatonin is a really, you know, really important hormone, and it's necessary to have, you know, high, good levels of melatonin in your body. So here are two ways to improve your melatonin levels. Number one, meditate for a half hour before your bedtime. Now, Mike recommends the Holosync meditation program. That's what he's been using. And Brian Johnson was a big fan of Holosync before he went and created his own version of Holosync, Blissitations. Blissitations.com is where you can find the Brian's version of these Holosync audio tracks. And I've used Holosync. I used Blissitations now. And you know, I meditate regularly. I haven't made the meditation before bedtime a practice, but I really am very inclined to, given Mike's advice here, that it, you know, this can help increase melatonin levels. So, you know, he says meditate for a half hour, but again, with any meditation practice, start where you are. You know, that might be starting with 2 minutes, might be started with 1 minute. Maybe you can do 5 or 15 minutes before you go to bed. But if you can build up to that half hour before bedtime, you know, it's going to make your ease into sleep, that transition into bed, so much easier. Number two, make sure your room is very dark. Use thick curtains, cover all lights, electronic clocks, etc. Now, I travel a lot, and the way I get around this, or maybe not get around this, but kind of support this behavior, so a lot of times I'm in rooms that maybe can't get that dark, or, you know, I want to sleep, you know, take a quick nap during the day. I carry an eye mask, little eye pillow, eye mask, you know, whatever they call them, and I really love that because, you know, the one I have is very soft, keeps the, you know, light out, can really help me, you know, ease into sleep a little bit easier, stay in sleep, you know, the light is not interrupting me. And so the two ideas from Mike: meditate before bed and make sure your room is dark, make sure you're not getting bombarded with all these lights, and really importantly, you know, that you're not being bombarded with light in the morning before you're ready to wake up, you know, because as soon as your body gets that external light, gets the sunlight, the daylight, whatever it is, the melatonin production stops, dramatically drops down. So two really important things to know about melatonin. All right, moving over to Love University with Mastin Kipp. Let's look at week number three, embracing the unknown. Big idea number three talks about convenient stories. So let's just go into this note. It says, make a list of all you dream about that you doubt is achievable. Make a list of all you dream about that you doubt is achievable. Make a list of all your fears and why you are afraid to stretch into them. Now, personally, you know, I certainly have dreams that I just think, boy, it would be so cool if I could do this or if this could happen. And sometimes there is that part of, you know, thinking, yeah, but it's, you know, but it's not going to happen, or I'm not going to be able to do it. So I totally relate to this. Now, and then the second part, make a list of all your fears, why you're afraid to stretch into them. The Mastin says, you can begin to identify the two fundamental reasons why people don't take risks. Number one, and I'm sure you've heard both of these, either from yourself or from others. Number one, I don't have enough time. Number two, I don't have enough money. So let's look at these. no time. The reality is we all have the same amount of time, and if we really want something, we make it happen. It's not that we don't have enough time, it's that it's not a priority and that we are scared out of our minds. So I completely agree with this, you know. For people, for myself, I'll say, you know, for a long time, watching television was a priority. Now, did I write that down? Did I declare that to the world that watching TV is a priority? No, but because of my behavior, because of how much time I spent watching TV, obviously it was a priority for me. I, you know, at that time in my life, you know, I wasn't as focused on, you know, meditation or exercise or nutrition or, you know, being creative. You know, I had defined on some level that television was my priority. So I completely agree that there is a priority, and then there's that resistance to what do we really want to do. So now looking at the second part, no money. There are tons of people out there who have rags to riches stories because they thought creatively and they had the faith. So check out this. I don't have the money is the same thing as saying I'm not thinking creatively enough. I don't have the money means I'm not thinking creatively enough. So if you don't have the money, it's time to start thinking more creatively. So where do you doubt in your life? Where do you not believe? If you hear yourself say, I don't have enough time or money, see that as a cue to uncover the core issue in what is really going on for you. So again, if you hear yourself saying, you know, I don't have the time, I don't have enough money, I can't find the time, I can't make enough, that's just a cue, that's just a symptom. Really investigate, figure out what's going on, what's the fear, what's the anxiety, what's stressing you out, and see how you can become a little more creative. There have been a lot of things in my life. I didn't grow up rich, I'm still not rich, but there are a lot of things I've done, including a lot of travel I've done, and it's only been able to be accomplished because I got really creative, and I looked at other people, what they were doing, how they were solving these problems creatively, and I said, okay, well, somebody else has done it this way. I'm gonna do this too. So totally agree with it. I still wrestle with this a lot, and I think this is great advice, you know, because we do have time, and we do have the solutions to, you know, focus on what we want to achieve. Okay, moving over to the feel-good solution to end overeating for good with Isabel Tierney. We're in week number 5, fulfilling your sacred needs. So big idea number 3 covers the science of feeling good. So here are some scientifically proven strategies, and this totally harkens back to Dr. Heidi Grant Halvorsen's, you know, 12 Habits of Happiness kind of thing. You know, scientifically proven. These are scientifically proven strategies from Isabel for feeling good that we can use instead of our current habits. Or maybe you're already using them, or maybe you can use them in place, or, you know, whatever. So let's go through these. Number 1, be in nature. Nature triggers the relaxation response in us because the natural world generally has about a 1/3 slower electromagnetic frequency than we do. I had no idea about that. So going out into the forest or getting out into the country or whatever, the electromagnetic frequency is literally slower. We, you know, the world around us slows down, literally. That is crazy. So be in nature. Great. I love it. Number 2, give. When you give with a loving intent, it creates a helper's high. It raises our endorphins and others feel and other feel-good neurotransmitters. So again, there we go, some brain chemistry going on. That helper's high, you know, the serotonin drops in. And, you know, Brian shared this on the notes. You know, when you do something good, not only do you feel good when you've done it, the person receiving it feels good, and if a third person was observing it, they feel good too. So, number 2, give. You give with a loving intent, you get that helper's high. Number 3, hug. Hug it out. Hug for life. Okay. Well, all right. The last two I threw in there. But basically, Isabel says hug. Hugging raises oxytocin and serotonin, and it also increases the strength of your immune system. Get out of town. It increases the strength of your immune system. So, okay. All right. Well, that's it. Instead of taking vitamins or, you know, all this cold medication, I'm just going to hug it out. Because, you know what, then I'll be powerful. I'll be super powerful. I think that's great. Totally going to do it. All right, so that's number three. Number four, this might be a little more challenging for me to do in public. Number four, sing. Now, I love singing. I'm sure you do too. Mainly, I sing in the shower, when I'm alone, when I'm listening to my iPod in the street, and I look like a crazy person. But that's when I sing, and I love it, and it opens up your heart. That's what Isabel says. So number four, sing. Number five, music. It can also create the relaxation response. Now, I didn't listen to the class this week. I'm just going off the notes. I'm not sure if that means listening to music or playing music. I'm sure both can have a really positive impact. But, I'm totally a big believer. There are a lot of songs where I just put them on, and I got to dance, and I feel good. It feels great. So music is a great thing to do. Number six, very easy to do. We can all do it every day, all the time. Smile. Even a fake smile, get this, even a fake smile generates a flow of endorphins, oxytocin, and serotonin in your body. And I believe that because a lot of times there is what we call muscle memory in our bodies. So even if, you know, we manually or artificially smile, you know, our body is being put into a position that recalls the emotions that normally go along when you are genuine. You know, so when you're genuinely smiling, you're happy, you feel good. So when you force yourself to smile, you kind of can't feel bad. So totally agree with that. Number seven, that was number six, smile. Number seven, one of my favorites, practice gratitude. Gratitude improves overall health, creates better sleep, lowers stress hormones in the blood, and reverses damage to your heart. It reverses damage to your heart. So, real easily, real quickly, right now, write down five things for which you are grateful. Do it right now. Okay, great. Hopefully you have your list. Now do that every day. This will help you focus on what is good. Studies have shown that simply writing down five things for which you are grateful daily will improve your happiness levels by 25%. So that means even if you're really happy, let's say you're like 90% happy, you're going to get to 115% happy. I know that sounds insane, but it's totally science right there tells you, you know, increase your happiness levels by 25%. So practice gratitude. Even if you're not writing it down, but before you get out of bed, think about five things you're grateful for, and you're going to start your day on a positive note, definitely. Okay, number eight, almost done here. Practice kindness and compassion towards yourself. Practice kindness and compassion towards yourself. Absolutely. Love yourself. Practice it. Kindness, compassion. Totally resonate with this one and something I will continue to practice. And number nine, always, always, always remember to breathe. Now, I know that sounds obvious because we're all breathing all the time, but, you know, sometimes that we hold that breath. And just remember to breathe. So that was Isabel's nine scientifically proven ways of feeling good that we can use for habits. So pick out, you know, one, maybe two that you want to start practicing in your life. You know, if you're already doing some of these, great. If you want to incorporate them, start with one, maybe two. If you pick one to start a month, In 9 months, you'll have all of these integrated in your life. You know, say be in nature. Let's say you want to pick that one. So then once a day, go out for 5 minutes in the nature, however you can, and do that every day for 20, 30 days. And then month number two, go to give. Find ways that you can give every day. Doesn't have to be money. Doesn't have to be a lot of time, but just find ways you can give to other people. And then do that, repeat, 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 however many times you want to incorporate however you want. Okay, great. Man, that idea really fired me up. I love that. Okay, cool. Let's go into the big glow, living an inspired life with Brian Piergrossi with week number four, The Inspired Body. And I'm just thinking, I might be mispronouncing Brian's name. I think it's Brian Piergrossi. I think it's Piergrossi. Week number four, The Inspired Body. So, like I said, I want to cover the three big ideas in this note. because they're all quick, they're all easy, and let's go through them real quickly. So, big idea number one is relaxation, because this is all about the inspired body. How do we have an inspired body? So, relaxation. What are the three keys to living an inspired life? Relaxation, nutrition, and exercise. So, first up, relaxation. We're looking for a way to calm the body. The most basic form of relaxation is meditation. So we've heard about meditation from Mike Mahler earlier. Now we're hearing about it again from Brian. So it's the most basic form of relaxation. And this word, to Brian, simply means a space to focus on being, to focus on and allow what is. Now, here's a big idea. There is no right or wrong with meditation. However you're doing it is great, is absolutely right. Well, actually, no, I'll take that back. It says there's no right or wrong with meditation. I think what Brian Moore means there's no wrong with meditation. And you know, whatever you're doing is right for you. That's exactly what you need to be doing. To make space for being, as Brian calls it, is really valuable. It could be just a few minutes or even a spontaneous act in your day. You might meditate for a minute, or all of a sudden you're just kind of, you know, at home doing some stuff, and you go, you know what, I'm going to sit just quietly for a few minutes. That's fine too. The primary point is make some time for being. We need to reprogram the body to breathe more deeply, not just in the throat, but all the way down to the belly. How many of us feel like we breathe like out of our chest or even just out of our neck? And you know what? Our diaphragm goes way down deep into our belly. If you can tap into that breath, that depth, you're going to have a lot more confidence and energy in your days as you breathe. So meditation is a great way to connect and tap into that. How else can you relax during the day? It might be painting, taking a walk, having a conversation with friends, again, meditating. Make this a priority and a part of your day, because it will benefit every part of your life. There's no question. Relaxation will benefit every part of your life. Big idea number two is nutrition. So we're all different, and so what is healthy to one person may not be for another. The most important part with nutrition here is be present with your eating. How does it taste? How does it smell, feel? How do you digest it? How does it make you feel after you digest it? All these questions, taste, smell, feel. How do you digest it? How does it make you feel after you digest it? That's really key. And we talked about that in a couple weeks back with Sean Phillips' Strength for Life. There's that feedback loop. You know, most people stop thinking about food once they've eaten. And they forget about, you know, the 2 or 3 hours later, how they feel is related to what they've eaten. So you want to create a positive feedback loop by eating things that make you feel good. And the next time you're hungry, your body's going to say, yeah, more of the stuff that makes us feel good. So Brian says the same thing. How does it make you feel after you digest it? Another question, another couple good questions. What makes your body feel inspired? What foods make your body feel inspired? And what drains you? The more whole, natural, unprocessed foods you eat, the better. Our bodies know how to digest these. There's no questions. There's no wondering. Our bodies know how to digest, you know, fruits and vegetables and nuts and seeds, all that stuff. Whole, natural, unprocessed foods. The more you eat, the better. And also drink lots of water. I love how Brian put this. Take an inner shower. We all take showers to clean ourselves on the outside. Drinking lots of water is taking an inner shower and flushing your system, because this gives us a natural radiance to our body. Drinking lots of water creates a natural radiance. Some might even say a certain big glow, smiley face right there. And you know what? This big glow, no products are needed. No makeup, no cologne, no aftershave, no hairspray. You got a natural big glow going on, and it's just from drinking water, so drink plenty of it. Big idea number three is exercise. The three types of exercise to incorporate in your life at least 3 to 4 times each week. It all depends on, you know, your level of fitness or your level of activity or where you're starting from or how you feel and, you know, any other conditions you have. You know, always listen to your body. But here's just some general rules. You got three types of exercise. We got aerobic, anaerobic, and flexibility. So aerobic. Aerobic is all about having a strong, healthy heart, whether you're doing some jogging or some, you know, different aerobic classes or you're doing some strength training. It's all about, you know, extended periods of time. That's what we're doing to, you know, really create a strong, healthy heart. Saying healthy heart reminds me again, I just want to bring it up because it was so cool how in Isabel's notes, how she said practicing gratitude reverses damage to your heart. So if you can get some aerobic exercise in and you're practicing gratitude daily, that is probably going to be better than, you know, any heart medication your doctor can give you. Second type of exercise, anaerobic exercise. Now, this builds muscle. It's all about sprints, weightlifting. You know, if you're going to commit to this, you know, you want to do this regularly, do it every other day because you need to give your body time to rest. So aerobic every other day, just, you know, building it because you need those recovery periods. You know, the body's not going to be able to build muscle and rejuvenate if you're constantly putting these demands on it. The third item is flexibility. Now, yoga, as Brian pointed out, is a great practice for flexibility. It'll show you where you're tight and where there's tension, and it's also, yoga is also a form of meditation. So definitely stretch a few times a week. Now, a few other examples I love for flexibility. I think Tai Chi is great. You know, I do some Tai Chi warm-ups that really, you know, get into flexibility and mobility. And Mike Mahler, actually, from his, if you go to the Big Ideas for his week one class, I posted a video of Mike's mobility flexibility routine. You can do, he shows you the whole thing, and, you know, probably it would take you only about 15, maybe 20 minutes to get through. He does that every day. It's a great way to, you know, loosen up and get some flexibility into your days, because a lot of us, and you know what, I'm going to get up right now, I'm sitting down. I was going to say, a lot of us, we sit so much in our lives, and we're so stationary or sedentary in our lives, you know, it's important to get that flexibility into our body. So going back to Brian's notes, the most natural form of exercise is walking and hiking. And this can also be a great opportunity for meditation. You're walking out in the woods or whatever, you just stop, you decide to meditate for a few minutes. You could be standing and meditating. You could sit down and meditate. But just to take that time to, you know, calm your body, focus on your breath, and that's it. Could be 1-2 minutes. That's all you need. Now, what about pain? I thought this was a great point. Pain is the sign of a healthy body. It's there to help us and guide us in terms of what we should and should not be doing. It's a form of communication with the body, and it's a call to attention. So the quicker we are attentive to our body and what it's telling us, the faster the pain goes away. And when we ignore it, the systems can fester. So when you're experiencing pain, it's not about ignoring it and just blowing through it and pushing through it. It's going, okay, all right, there's some pain there. All right, let me attend to that. Let me see what I need to do. And, you know, it's a healthy form of communication with the body. So Brian leaves us with this question. What ways can you give more attention to your body? What is your relationship to your body? Great, great questions. How can you give more attention to your body? Great question, and some great ideas to think about. Almost through all the notes here, let's move. We only got a couple left. Wow, let's move over to The Power of Authentic Living with Alan Cohen, week number 7, Let Life Love You. I love that title, Let Life Love You. So we got big idea number 2, be and feel, as it's written, is greater than task lists. So what does this all mean? It's Monday morning, and you're staring down a list of to-dos, appointments, and goals. Does this sound familiar to anyone else out there? I know it sounds familiar to me. So these are perfect tools to meet deadlines and responsibilities in the physical world. But what about your spiritual energy? Our spiritual energy doesn't work off an email being sent out. It works from our being and our feeling. So try this on for size. Try a daily to be and a to feel list to get your spirit in gear So instead of just having your to-do list where, you know, here are all the things I need to get done today, what's your to-be list? What's your to-feel list? Who do you want to be today? Do you want to be gracious, honest, impeccable, fun? How do you want to feel today? You want to feel joy, peace, grateful, excited? So again, you know, what do you want to show up in your life? You know, you got your list of what you want to do, what you want to accomplish by the end of the day. How do you want, you know, how do you want to be? How do you want to show up? How do you want to feel during all of this activity? Great, great idea. So next week, or, you know, whenever you're listening to this coming week, try writing out a be list or a feel list instead of, you could even do it instead of a to-do list. I mean, so many people talk about to-do lists and, you know, they're great and they can be really great tools, but you know what? Maybe just 1 week, just experiment. Try writing a to-be list or a to-do list instead of a to-do list, getting all these lists confused. Try writing a to-be list or a to-feel list instead of a to-do list. See what happens. You will experience the difference at your core. And that's from Alan, and I guarantee he knows what he's talking about. So that, and, you know, I do that in a manner of speaking. I really kind of write down the qualities I'm looking to incorporate in my life. But I think this is a great idea, you know, maybe even looking at my to-do list. You know, okay, let's say I need to, you know, write something or go, you know, even go grocery shopping, you know, like when I go grocery shopping, what qualities do I want to bring when I go to the store? You know, how I interact with the people around the store, the person at the checkout, person bagging the groceries. Do I want to, you know, interact with peace and love and compassion and openness? When I'm writing, do I want to be playful? You know, all that kind of stuff. And then, you know, how do I want to feel and be? I think that's great. Because that also, to me, touches on a huge issue is, you know, there are a lot of things we all want to do. And, you know, over the course of our life, some of them will happen, some of them may not. But you know what? We all have the ability to be whoever we want to be. And we all have the ability to feel however we want to feel. That power is within all of us. So whatever you want to be, whatever you want to feel, that work starts right now. That opportunity, that moment is right now. You can start being and feeling however you want and continue to work at that, continue to practice that, and continue to be it. So I love it. All right. I feel like saying it because, you know, it makes sense here. As Brian would say in many of his notes, that's hot. Okay, cool. Finally, we got Masters of Change with Ian Lawton, week number 9, action, part 4, responsibility. Big idea number 1 is responsibility. So this is a huge concept to me. I love it. I've heard it before. I've heard Brian talk about it in his notes before. And Ian, you know, shared it in his class this week. All right, what is responsibility? So no matter what led to this moment, no matter the challenges facing you, no matter the odds stacked against you, you are always responsible for what happens next. Personal responsibility is not about blame or cause and effect. It's about owning your ability to respond in each moment, no matter what happens. Personal responsibility is about accepting that the quality of your life rests squarely on your own shoulders. You can't always control circumstances, but you can always choose your response. This is your response ability, your ability to respond. So this is, like I said, a huge concept for me, something I love thinking about and sharing with others. There's that moment between stimulus and response where consciousness is, where awareness is, where we can step in. It's not an event equals the outcome. There's an event plus our decision equals the outcome, the response. So, you know, if somebody cuts you off in traffic, it's not a given that you will get upset, you know, honk at them, race up next to their car. There's that moment of after somebody cuts you off, you have that moment to decide of how am I going to act. And it may be just a split second, but you have that awareness. You can step into that consciousness, that moment before you do something and figure out, you know, how do I want to do it? And the more you practice stepping into that space, the quicker and easier it's going to become to do exactly, you know, what you would like to do in those moments. You know, take that higher road, take that responsibility. So I love this concept. Let me see if there is anything I want to go back and touch on that I just shared. Personal responsibility is about accepting that the quality of your life, you know, where you live, what you're eating, your job, all of that stuff, the quality of your life rests squarely on your shoulders. You know, this was a big concept for me. When I realized that I couldn't, that this was true, that, you know, I had responsibility for my situation, from that day forward, I realized I can't complain. There's no point in complaining because who am I going to complain to? At best, I could complain to myself, and guess what? I'm responsible for changing anything that I'm not happy with. So that was a huge thing for me. So let me finish out what Ian says here. You can force conformity. You can legislate behavior, but responsibility comes from self-mastery. Let me say that again. You can force conformity. You can legislate behavior, but responsibility comes from self-mastery. The best way you can take responsibility for what you see as broken in the world is to take responsibility for putting yourself back together, healing all the broken places, and becoming a healthy, functioning human being. The more you put yourself right, the more the world will come out right. God, I love that. What a great, great idea. And, you know, it's that same phrase, be the change you want to see in the world. You know, if whatever you want to change in the world, whatever you see as broken, the best thing you can do is make sure you are a rockin' human being and take responsibility for yourself, for your life, for your actions. And as you do that, that is going to radiate out. It's going to inspire others. And, you know, you will be the change. You will be the demonstration of these practices in action that people need to see. They'll get it without you even telling anyone or telling, you know, people what you're doing. They'll see, wow, you are so much happier and more positive, and you're getting stuff done. You're just crushing it. And they're going to sense like, okay, you know, maybe I need to ask him what he's doing, or I see what he's doing, you know, whether it's what you're eating or how you're treating people. You know, they're going to want to get in on that. So taking responsibility for your actions is a huge, huge concept. And, I mean, we just touched on it briefly, but, you know, just remembering you're always responsible for your actions. When something happens, it does not immediately dictate a response. You have that moment to choose, how am I going to show up now? Am I going to show up, you know, negative and grumpy and upset and yell and all that kind of stuff? Or am I going to, you know, maybe handle it more playfully, you know, bring some levity, some lightness to the situation, have fun, you know, take a step back, you know, take myself not so seriously, all this stuff. And really, it comes from self-mastery. Just continue and continue and continue to practice. None of these things we're talking about, you know, it's going to be very difficult to change any of this stuff overnight. You can certainly, you know, institute changes. You know, like Ian says, you can legislate behavior of, okay, now I'm going to, you know, darken all of the, you know, lights in my bedroom. You know, your melatonin levels aren't going to immediately shoot up. All this stuff is going to change over time. It's about practicing it day in, day out, really committing to this stuff. All right. Well, I think that is plenty for today. I really love talking about all this stuff. That was a really fun show for me. I had a lot of fun, and I'll say what I think was the biggest difference for me is I was not sitting down. And you know what? It was great reading about thinking about Mike's notes about flexibility, Brian's notes about flexibility. Yeah, you got to be up. You got to be interactive with the world and what you're doing, and let that passion come through. So that is the TA Discussion Hour for today. Thank you so much for tuning in. Again, you can go to TheosAcademy.com and TheosRadio.com and Theos.me/blog for all of the notes. And check out we.entheos.me for the community. You can go to the forums. I think, geez, what do we call it now? I don't know if it's forums still, but I put up a thread, and you can listen to the episodes there, and you can leave comments, suggestions, thoughts. The lounge, that's what we're calling it. The lounge is up. Or you could go directly to the TA Discussion Hour site, which is, again, tadiscussionhour.podbean.com. So thanks, everyone, for tuning in. Hope you had a great discussion hour. Thanks so much for listening. You know, really enjoyed the notes today. Check out any of the classes. Again, we got Importance of Optimizing Hormones, Love University, The Feel-Good Solution, End Overeating for Good, The Big Glow, Living an Inspired Life, The Power of Authentic Living, Masters of Change with Ian Lawton, are all the classes that we talked about today. And, you know, while I'm thinking about it, I'm curious if there are any classes coming up in the coming weeks here. Let's see if we got anything new coming up. There are a bunch of classes that have just been finishing up. But, we got Visionary Skills 2 with Marty Spiegelman. That's starting next week. And we got a 5-star practice for creating beautiful relationships with Dr. Keith Witt. So those two classes are coming up soon, coming up this week, actually. And Strike for Life just finished up, and we got some other classes finishing up here and there. But, yeah, check it all out. Thank you so much for listening. Hope you really enjoyed. Let me know what you think. And, you know, share your big ideas, your experiences with all this stuff. We'd love to hear from you. Have a wonderful rest of your day. Take care, and we'll see you next week.